Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. In this episode of Radio Today's weekly podcast, Nihal Arthanayake talks about moving to Radio 5 Live, his Buddhism, his brushes with racism, and his long radio career in music and now talk. We've got Stuart Clarkson's news and David Lloyd's radio moments too. But first, to the north.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
So now, Salford, this is a bit far north for you.
Yeah, I know, Radio. Previously, Barnet was about as far north as I went. And then I got offered a job, which meant that my wife, my children, myself moved to the northwest. Yes, yeah, so now we live in Manchester. We are Mancunians.
So how's it going?
Well, people drive too slow up here. That's one thing I've noticed.
And there's no Spurs fans.
The very few Spurs fans. My son is, in fact, the only Spurs fan in his year, and he's one of only two he can count in the school. And the school's full of Man City fans. So we gave Man City a bit of a spanking a few weeks back, which I said to him, look, I would love, like you, to kind of run through the playground going, Prince Ali, Dele Ali, Ali of Tottenham. But I just don't think it's going to work. You see, now, when I was at school, I was probably belligerent enough to have done that. But this is a new school. He's a Londoner, born and bred, living now in Manchester. So I thought you've got to be. But, you know, he has been getting a bit of a grief because everyone's either blue or red up here. You know, it's not like in London where there's West Ham and there's Chelsea and there's Fulham and there's Spurs and there's Arsenal and there's all kinds of clubs. Here, it's just blue or red, and then my son and daughter are like two Spurs fans. It's crazy.
So here you are on 5 Live. There's not many other radio styles you haven't done. You know, you are a master of lots of different genres of broadcasting. What's the special challenge of 5 Live?
Well, it's a huge audience and a very knowledgeable audience and... Do you know what? I think that each, you know, Asian Network had its challenges, and I got so many of those really difficult challenges in terms of really sensitive debating issues and making some, you know, massive mistakes done there in many ways. So here it's a broader brief. So you have to be across so many different things. There's a bigger team. There is more churn, as it were, in terms of stories. The guests are, you know, national treasures. I mean, my first week on this show was Julie Walters, John Bon Jovi, Jamie Oliver, Derren Brown. That was like first 4 days. You know, it is an extraordinary amount of household names. I mean, you interview John Bon Jovi, who sold 130 million albums, and, you know, that's going to get some pickup, right? You know, it's a different thing. But luckily, because I've been doing this a fair while and, you know, being on daytime Radio 1 and Specialist Radio 1 and One Extra and then the Asian Network, you know, you kind of approach everything hopefully the same way. But, I mean, it's amazing to be part of it. I'm not sure it's quite sunk in.
One thing that must be a little bit different is I'm not demeaning music radio, but you do have to do a lot of research to do this kind of programming. You know, it's all very well saying in front of me is a guy who's written a book. You've probably got to at least have read some of it. You know, I imagine it must be quite difficult to switch off from doing the show kind of 24/7.
Yeah, and, you know, there are different skills. You know, Scott Mills is an extraordinary broadcaster, and A-Dot on One Extra, they're extraordinary broadcasters, and it's very different. I think if you're a specialist music DJ, everything that you're doing is in your comfort zone because that's the music that you love. And you bring that passion and that energy and that knowledge to it like Mr. Jam does. Here, of course, you'll constantly be taken out of your comfort zone. You know, if you haven't seen the musical, you know, Cabaret with Alan Cumming in it and you're going to interview him, you've kind of got to know and you've got to look around it. So you're constantly being pushed in all these different directions. You know, we got Ken Clark on Thursday and we had Peter Hook today. You know, you can't think of two more different people. There's one truism about all of this, and it's one that it's a quality you possess as well, Trevor. It's just, you're just nosy about the world, right? You just want to know about stuff. So as long as you want to know, as long as you're genuinely interested in different experiences, then you're kind of going to be all right, I think.
How important do you think it is that a broadcaster has some hinterland that you, in your case, you didn't just go straight out of school onto a radio station, and you know, you're even, for goodness sake, a plugger for a while.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
And you, so you've done lots of things before you started doing speech radio. Do you think that matters? Is it helpful?
Do you know what? It's exactly the same debate that was had before the 2015 general election and Ed Miliband, who was a career politician, and that's all he'd ever done. And I think you make a very valuable point. I mean, if you just want to do radio and that's all you've ever done, fine. But I would question about what you bring to it. You know, I've been a plugger for Elton John. I've been in bands, so I know what it's like to be at 2 o'clock in the morning in the M1 in the back of a van, stopping off to get pasties because you're starving after doing a gig and playing at the Adelphi in Hull. I know what it's like to stage dive. I know what it's like to manage a band and then be an absolute nightmare and we all fall out with each other and I'm trying to do all the business and they're arguing and lead singer's crying. And, you know, all of these things. I've been a journalist, so I've sat in front of spiky interviewees, you know, Black Eyed Peas, for instance, where Will.i.am is just sitting there strumming a guitar, couldn't really care less about any of the questions you're asking through the whole interview, or with rappers like Method Man and Redman, who build a bong of marijuana out of a chicken. They're attempting to do that, of a roast chicken on a hotel suite in central London. So all of these different things, plus, you know, I'm a comprehensive schoolboy from Essex, you know, been in odd situations with people. I've got friends of mine who are on the other, have been on the other side of the law, and I've visited them inside. You know, there's lots of different experiences I've had. And one thing that's quite interesting is that you often hear, or I often hear from people going, that's a really different way you did that interview. Because I'm not a broadcast journalist, right? So I've never done journalism course. So I see the world in the way I see the world. But perhaps to other people, that's you see the world in a slightly different way.
Have you encountered in your broadcasting career any sort of racism?
Yeah, I mean, look, it happened here, not at Five Live, but on Twitter, right? So, you know, anyone gets a job on Five Live or in any other radio station and they're white, obviously they're not going to get someone saying the only reason you got this job is because you're white. But I get... And fair enough, it's a small minority, but I get the only reason you hear is political correctness gone mad, is, you know, it's the ethnic cleansing of radio, and the only reason you're there is to tick some box. And they try and undermine your self-confidence and make you feel as though somehow, because you're an ethnic minority, you shouldn't be there. And then you think, well, maybe I only won 2 Sony Golds because I'm brown, probably the only broadcaster in the UK to have won one for specialist music and speech broadcasting, right? Maybe the reason I got onto the board of the British Council, and I was the youngest member of the board of the British Council at the time, which is the world's largest cultural organisation. Maybe because I'm on the board of the South Bank Centre, which is the world's biggest arts organisation. Maybe all of those things only happened because I was brown. Maybe, you know, you interview people like the guy who wrote Tipping Point, Malcolm Gladwell. And Malcolm Gladwell comes back and says, that's one of the best interviews that I've done. Maybe he only said that because I'm brown. Maybe...
I don't want to stop your list, yeah, which is impressive now, but does it give you a sense of feeling like a trailblazer? I just wonder whether it gives you... whether it means you carry any kind of extra burden.
No, not... What a fascinating question. It seems to me that I'm here because I'm good at what I do. Otherwise, they wouldn't take a risk putting me here, right? Now, if another brown kid, right, is sitting there and goes, do you know what, Five Live are never going to take someone like me from a comprehensive school group. Background, who didn't do a journalism degree, and they never, oh, wait a minute, is that Nihal guy? Now, look, I saw people like Trevor Nelson. I mean, what an inspiration Trevor Nelson is as a broadcaster, as a black British broadcaster. I mean, there are plenty. I mean, look at Meera Syal and what she's achieved in her life. Extraordinary. Anita Anand and what she does on Radio 4. It's just great to be there. So the trailblazer, because there have been Asians before me that have got into certain situations, like Anita Anand was on Five Live and Radio 4.
And Asma Mir.
And Asma Mir, of course, exactly, and Asma Mir. So it's it, not trailblazer as such. I just think I'm just part of a vanguard of people who can go. Because ultimately, Trevor, diversity is just about normalization. That's all it's about. It's not about giving brown people jobs to make white liberal people feel good about themselves. It's not about charity to us poor ethnic minorities. It's because it is an economic and creative necessity to have as a diversity of ideas. And that diversity of ideas will not exist if all you have is public school educated Oxbridge types broadcasting, writing, reading. Of course it wouldn't, in the same way that it wouldn't work for One Extra if it was only black people working at One Extra, or Asian Network, only Asians working at Asian Network. There has to be a plethora of ideas, and that's what I'm interested in. I do bring something different to Five Live that it didn't have before. I mean, that's obvious.
Let me ask you this. You were saying it's okay to be nosy, so here's a really nosy one. How important is your Buddhism?
Do you know what? I think that karma is important to me. And, you know, if people mess with me, I believe in loyalty. Like, I come from a bit of an old school thing. Maybe it's that kind of Essex boy, comprehensive, you know, all in, one in. And if people are disloyal to me, and there have been a couple of people in this industry who have been, there's no coming back from that. You know, to me, karma is that thing, is that I try to give out as much positivity as I can. And that's why, you know, an 18-year-old can email me. They can tweet me and go, can we have a conversation? I'll go, here's my email address, I'll DM. Because I feel as though I'm not pulling the ladder up behind me, right? So I believe very much in karma. And I didn't have those guys when I was 20. So I'm hoping now that I can be that guy. So Buddhism in that respect, and also it's quite calming, although if you saw me drive, you wouldn't, that there's no Buddhism there. It's like some kind of militant atheism when I'm driving. But I think it is that belief in, and that's more to do, I think it would be to undermine just how important my parents' values were to me if I was to say it was down to Buddhism. It was down to just how extraordinarily wise and calm and fair my parents are about life.
Let me bring you back to something just a bit more kind of ordinary, but I'm really interested in this in terms of Five Live. How much jabbering is there in your headphones while you're on?
Do you know what? Again, you know, great radio question, isn't it? Because some producers feel as though it's great to give you a soliloquy in your ear, right? While you're interviewing someone. And it's like, and what I love is about, because I've done quite a bit of live TV. I did a stint on Good Morning Britain, and it was great when they just go 3 seconds. You know, they got 10 seconds and you're out. You've got 1 minute on this question, right? And I think that your producers are really good, because once they know straight away that you just go, I'm gesticulating here, like, no, don't do it, you know, and you just go a bit hardcore about that, you know. It's interesting that, isn't it? Because you're trying to be a presenter that is someone that people want to work with, because you get the best out of them. But equally, you know, you have to call people out when, you know, you have to kind of go, not in a humiliating way, but you have to say, you know, that wasn't cool.
Because there is nothing worse, is there, than being in the middle of a question when somebody says in your ear, 10 seconds or something like that is fine, but when they say, ask him about his third album.
Exactly. So you the worst thing is not when you're asking them, but when you're listening for the answer. Because so they think that's the break at which they can then talk to you, right? So you kind of go, so why do you think that this particular facet of your religion is so controversial? So they give this answer, and of course, controversial religion in the same sentence. And then a producer might go, right, okay, I think we're done with this one. But I mean, I like him, don't get me wrong. But I mean, it would be great if perhaps we moved it along a bit, because quite frankly, I think we've got about 7 minutes left of this. And in those 7 minutes, I'll be right to get to this. And then suddenly they've answered. And then all these texts going in, I can't believe they just said that about this. I can't believe that. And you haven't heard what they've said. And this happened to me. This happened to me when, I think it was like someone who was from a far right organisation said something incredibly insulting about the Prophet Muhammad. And he'd said something previously insulting about Muslims, at which point I then said to my producer, can you fact check that? While I'm saying fact check, he'd gone and said something else insulting about the Prophet Muhammad. Now, that resulted in 1,500 complaints. We were the second most complained to show to Ofcom that year, beaten only by The Right Stuff on Channel 5.
So people have got to listen. I mean, when you're doing an interview, you've got to concentrate.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Asian Network production team and this production team here get that.
So one other thing, what about working as part of a double act? What's the challenge in that for you?
The challenge is territoriality. So as long as you have a presenter, and I knew this beforehand with Sarah, that she wasn't going to be the kind of person that would be saying, well, you're eating into my 5 minutes. I've got 5 minutes. You've got 5 minutes. You've just eaten into that. So the key is to allow each other to go where they want to go with that type. Look, you know, she's interviewing Christopher Guest, right? I'm not doing that interview because I had a meeting that I had to do, so I couldn't do that interview. Am I going to go home and go, oh, Jesus, an absolute nightmare. That is, she's just taking all the great interviews off of me, she is. No, because she'll do a great interview like that. You know, having a trust with someone. Look, I've been in a radio partnership before, as everyone knows, or as most people know, and it didn't work out well. And it didn't almost work out well from the start, if I'm honest. And I think he would be equally honest that in classic Asian style, it was an arranged marriage, right? Yeah. And it was an arranged marriage with two people who just did not gel. And we kept it going I guess I was at Radio 1 for 12 years. I reckon, six of them or so were with him. And then he went off to Asian Network and Radio 1 wanted to keep me on Radio 1. And that was great. But I've been in both, right? And it's no secret that Bobby and I had an okay relationship, but not a great one.
But there was friction.
Exactly. If we may say so. There was friction, definitely.
Okay,
definitely.
Well, it sounds like it's working okay here.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, Sarah's, like I said, there's no ego about her. She's just like, right, how do we get the best interview out of it? And look, Trevor, when you're thinking about moving your family and leaving London, and I love London, I'm as London as it goes, right? I'm immersed in every level of London, from the grimiest grime gig to, you know, at the House of Lords having tea with someone. I knew London. I had a great time in London. So for me to make that move to Manchester, I had to know that certainly in the first instant, it was for the right reasons with the right people. And Jono is the right controller. Sarah is the right co-presenter. Tracy is the right editor. So all of that had to be in place. If one of those things wasn't in place, it wasn't going to happen.
And Manchester's working for you. Look, I don't know whether you recognise that stuff out there, but it's blue sky.
Dude, right, Trevor, this is another thing. Okay, so this is another thing, right? So when you move to Manchester, everyone in London, and in fact a few people up here, goes, oh, you know, it rains all the time, mate. And I was like, wait a minute, I wasn't living in Miami. I was living in London. We have rain in London. You know, it's not like we're all walking around in shorts all the time singing Club Tropicana. We have a winter in London. And it's, you know, so, and weirdly enough, Trevor, it's hardly rained since I moved up here. It's like for this week in Salford, I've looked at the weather. So my wife is still doing this. She's still comparing the London. She's going, it's 2 degrees colder here today. Like almost every day. She's like, okay, see, but it's not raining.
Your PR lady is beckoning for you to go.
Lovely Susie.
Nehal, thank you so much for talking to the Radio Today programme. Oh, lovely to see you again.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Trevor. Anytime, mate. Anytime.
We shall have some news now. Here's Stuart Clarkson.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. Tributes have been paid this week to Dave Cash, who died suddenly aged 74. Dave was on Caroline, Radio Luxembourg and Radio 1 in the 60s, Capital through the 70s and 80s, and in later years on BBC Local Radio in the south of England. He did a show only a few days before he died, actually. And, of course, he was one half of Kenny and Cash on three different stations and the launch programme controller at Radio West. You can leave your memories on the Radio Today Facebook page. Bob Shannon will be the new BBC Director of Radio from the 8th of November. He'll relinquish his role as Radio 2 controller but retain control of BBC Music. Bob reports to the BBC Director of Radio and Education, James Purnell, and will run the radio division day to day. The new job is a result of Helen Bowden's upcoming retirement from the corporation. Two new stations on DAB in London this week. Encore Radio, backed by UKRD, it's playing music from the musicals. The former Classic FM presenter Jamie Crick is the station's content director. Also new is Bloomberg Radio. It's rebroadcasting the audio of Bloomberg Television much of the day, but with a European breakfast show and a 4 till 5pm show leading up to the markets closing. Pop-up digital station BBC Music Jazz, run by the BBC in partnership with Jazz FM, has announced its presenting lineup. It's on air from the 10th to the 14th of November, and hosts include Will Young, Sir Van Morrison, Kerry Matthews, and Radio 2's Craig Charles. Cornwall community station The Hub is closing down this week. It's been on air since 2014. It says the closure is due to reasons beyond its control. And some presenter change news this week. ARIA award-winning local breakfast host Georgie Spanswick is swapping early mornings on BBC Radio York for evenings across the BBC local radio network. She'll take over from Mark Forrest on the network slot in February. Mark's been doing the show for 4 years. And former Real Radio and Heart Yorkshire PD Ricky Durkin has joined Wireless Group station Peak FM this week to do breakfast. He joins Kat Kilvington on the show, taking over from Stu Haycock. Ricky has most recently been on stations including Minster and Stray since leaving Communicorp last year. And those are the top stories this week from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Visual radio, smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
David Lloyd's Radio Moment.
We start 36 years ago this week, and commercial radio arrives at last in Gloucester.
Mike Oldfield and Arrival. Seven Sound on its first day. News on the hour at 6 o'clock. 6 minutes past, it's Up and About with myself, Alan Roberts, until 9:30. Then it's the turn of Christopher Musk with the mid-morning show. Gloucestershire this lunchtime, our daily news roundup is at 1, followed by Topic. Laura Devere with the afternoon affair from 2 o'clock until 4:30. Home to 7 with Steve Ellis until 8. And finally today, George Sigsworth with the Farming Magazine at 8 o'clock.
I can hardly wait. I wonder how many radio stations back then had a programme called Afternoon Affair or Afternoon Delight. Seven Sound launching this week in 1980. It's now Heart. 12 years ago, we lost John Peel.
And Archie has joined us in the studio. Do you want to come to your granddad? This is grotesquely self-indulgent. Is he going to sleep?
Your voice is sending him to sleep.
Is it? Okay, well, the music can't be sending him to sleep. That would be insulting. Bring him here. Let him bring him here so his granddad can see him. You're right,
he's
Archie.
He's going to sleep.
I want him to make his radio debut.
You're gonna... a rotter.
You're right, mate. Eh? You're right. I don't... Oh, dear, it doesn't respond to grandfatherdom. Anyway, where are we? This is Pico. They're in session tonight. And this is a John Prine song. I was hoping to find the original.
A rare family moment on air for John Peel, who died this week in 2004, aged 65. Brand changes are often associated with commercial radio, but BBC local radio has done its fair share too, not least on the South Coast. This week in 1983, BBC Radio Brighton became BBC Radio Sussex.
As time went on, it became even more important for us to identify strongly with the local county. And actually, when we went out and spoke to people, they always used to refer to us as BBC Sussex anyway. And it just became the obvious thing. Why don't we just go back to having Sussex in our name? And as soon as we spoke to kind of local opinion formers, our listeners, everybody just said, we don't know why, you just don't go ahead and do it. And so it became the obvious answer for us.
And it was such an obvious decision, they changed it again a few years later. And staying with local name changes, GLR rose from the ashes of BBC London this week in 88.
We sat down and thought, well, what if you were running Radio London, would you want to do with it? And Radio London, in my view, was a really odd mishmash of programmes at the time. It had an all-speech breakfast show, rather like the one I'd done on Radio Nottingham. Then it was 3 hours of Tony Blackburn with his big 12-incher, with double entendres and soul music. And then there were sort of some programmes which were mixed music and speech at drive time. Then there was Black Londoners in the evening. And there were some odd programmes, like there was a thing called Charlie's Rural Rides, which in which a man with a beard went round walking in the countryside and told you about it on this London radio station.
Matthew Bannister speaking on the creation of GLR from Radio London. The station lasted 12 years. It's Sunday night. The fun of the day playing in the garden is over. The smell of Brussels sprouts has gone, as have the chimes on the ice cream van. You've been called in for bath time as your mum irons your uniform, and thoughts turn to mundane matters of school tomorrow. You turn on the radio.
Sing something simple as cares go by. Sing something simple, just you.
Sound of Sunday nights for a generation. This week, 15 years ago, Cliff Adams died. His Sing Something Simple singers serenaded us for 42 years, most recently on Radio 2. Staying with the BBC, this week in 73, Radio 1 management were worried about payola. Controller Chinnery announced rules for promotional gifts from record companies. A bottle of wine was seen as extravagant and not allowed. Half a bottle was okay. And if you got that memo, I'd love to see it. This week, 59 years ago, the BBC's most influential radio programme began. Today, initially described as Topical Talks. Early editions comprised two 20-minute segments by Alan Skempton. The first show included items like briefing a pilot at London Airport, the sale of Napoleon's letters, and reviews of the latest gramophone records.
It's had many presenters in that time. One might mention the names of Robert Robinson and Michael Aspel and Barry Norman, but one name in particular was with the programme for many, many years, and that is the name of Jack DeManier. Tell me, Jack, do you still get up early in the morning?
Not unless I can help it. But I do get up fairly early, I suppose, about 12 o'clock.
I wonder if you remember Richard Stilgoe.
Yes, I do indeed. Very clever.
Well, he used to contribute topical songs to the programme, I suppose, in the 1960s, yes. One might say. And he's written a special one for our birthday. Let's hear it again.
In 1957, when today was young and green, it went out in two editions with a vicar in between, who gave thanks for the first one and offered up a prayer that they'd get it right the second time the show went on the air, telling listeners the
Richard Stilgoe, a Today contributor in the early days. And before Richard, you heard the voice of Jack DeManier, who died this week 28 years ago. Commercial radio now, and this week 41 years ago, Ipswich had something new to boast about.
East Anglia has its first local radio station. After months of work on studios at Electric House in Ipswich, Radio Orwell, the smallest independent station in the country, is on the air. Radio Orwell Limited was formed 5 years ago, but it wasn't until February this year that the company won the franchise to run the Ipswich station. Since then, there's been non-stop preparation to get everything ready at Electric House.
Yes, and a very good morning for me, Keith Rogers. I don't want to say very much today because I'm shaking like a proverbial jelly, to tell you the truth. Anyway, thanks very much to our chairman there, John Jacob, managing director Donald Brooks.
The birth of Radio Orwell in Ipswich, later SGR, now Heart, this week in 75. This week, 23 years ago, it was all change at Radio 1. Matthew Bannister had arrived. His influence and the prospect of refocusing Radio 1 quickly prompted change.
It's very interesting. I was reading an article about the programme a couple of days ago, and the article actually said, triumphs and disasters. And the good thing about this show, I guess, is that it's either or. Either we're pretty good, or we're the worst damn thing you've ever heard on the radio, which is the way it should be. I want to thank a lot of people, and I haven't got time. I want to thank all those people who...
The last morning show on Radio 1 from Simon Bates this week in 1993. So with the final Fluff Radio 1 Saturday Rock Show 23 years ago...
I love you.
The birth of the short-lived Radio West in Bristol 35 years ago, later GWR, now Heart.
Inquiries should be addressed to the regional officer, Independent Broadcasting Authority.
The clock's on Radio 2, not quite adjusting properly this week 3 years ago.
I can assure you we're trying to sort things out at this end, and just as soon as we can, we'll return to our normal schedule.
And with the fresh 40 Network Dance and Urban Chart launched 10 years ago, those are this week's Radio Moments.
From Luxie to Radio 3, 100 years of history.
I mean, these jingles get more bizarre every week. Thank you, David. Thanks to Nihal, to researcher Hayley Hayes and Stuart Clarkson at the news desk. This has been a TDC production on a laptop in Warsaw. And next week, we'll meet the woman who runs Poland's leading news talk station. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.